All right, hi everybody. I'm Stephanie Taylor. Today we're going to talk about, or I'm going to talk about how states' DUI policies or policies for drinking under the influence are related to the drinking behaviors of HIV positive persons. And of course, the disclosure, I have nothing to disclose. So the background. Drinking can affect the health of people with HIV. There's been a lot of studies in the last decade or so that look at a variety of negative outcomes, health outcomes for people who drink, who are infected. And not only that, alcohol consumption, a lot of studies have shown, reduces inhibitions or is linked to risky sex. And drinking is common amongst people with HIV. Studies in the past have shown that about half of people with HIV still drink with their disease. So looking at the policy aspects, though, DUI penalties could theoretically affect or curb drinking if people are concerned about being caught with their blood alcohol levels that exceed the limit. But we're aware of just a few studies that look at how DUI policies are related to drinking. There's a couple of the seminal ones here, one by Chalupka and Wechsler, and one by Kenkel, and there's been a few others. But most of these studies don't really tease apart the different DUI policy penalty policies, and they don't really look at a host of drinking behaviors. And moreover, we aren't aware of any studies that have looked at this issue amongst HIV positive persons. So that's what we're doing with this study here. We're looking at how alcohol policy, specifically DUI penalties or penalties for drinking under the influence, are related to drinking. And we looked at this using a multi-level analysis, using four drinking outcomes for individual level behavior, but we looked at how state-level policies affected individuals' drinking. And we had four dependent variables, looking at a continuum of drinking from current drinking, which is any drinking or not in the past month, to the number of days you drank in the past month, to the number of drinks you typically had on days that you drank in the past month, and current frequent heavy drinking, or some people call it heavy binge drinking or frequent binge drinking, which is binging a lot or drinking five or more drinks in one day and doing that once or more a week in the past month. So we're talking about all drinking behaviors here are past month drinking behaviors, ranging from any drinking to frequent heavy binging. And these dependent variables are created from three survey items on the number of days that they drink, how many drinks that they have, and on how many drinks that they have five or more drinks. These are just standard drinking questions, as I'm sure you've seen before. The four alcohol policy or the DUI policy variables we looked at, the first one was, all of these variables were from 2000. We tried to match up our 1998 drinking behaviors with 1998 policy data, but it was really, really difficult. The closest we could find was 2000. So the first DUI policy is from the National Survey of State Laws, and we've supplemented that with a NexusLexis search. And we looked at whether or not states had a court referred, and that could have been mandated or optional, treatment or education program for persons who were convicted of DUIs. A lot of states had this, a lot of states didn't, so it was a dichotomous policy. Either the state had it or they didn't. The next three policies are actually severity sort of dependent policies, where we looked at how strict states were with regard to, the first one is the fines that you get if you violate the back limits. And these were comprised of, we looked at issues whether or not fines were mandatory, what the minimum fines were. So we created a four-level policy variable from strictest to not for fines. We did the same thing for states' jail time and the same thing for license suspension, okay? So we created these variables that range from the least strict to the most strict. So we're talking about whether or not you had an alcohol or treatment program, your fines, your jail time, and how much your license was suspended or not. Those are the policy measures. And I said this was a multi-level analysis. So at the top level, at the state level, we had the policies. We looked at how they affected individuals drinking. So we controlled for individuals' characteristics. We controlled for their age, their race, ethnicity, their education, individuals' gender, sexual orientation, and that's sort of a confluence of sexual behavior and gender, and then their lowest CD4 count. And for those who don't study HIV, that is a measure of the severity of your HIV/AIDS illness. If you have a CD4 count less than 200, it signifies AIDS. So we wanted to sort of have a health measure in there too, because obviously those who are at the worst health probably won't drink that much. And then really briefly on the data that we used for the individuals and their drinking behavior. This is from the National Longitudinal Study of HIV-Positive Persons, the HCSA study. And very briefly, it was a longitudinal study started in 1996. We looked at the second follow-up, which was collected in late 97, early 1998. And there were 2,267 people in the total sample. A few people were missing data. So the survey size that we used to examine current drinking and frequent heavy drinking was 2,255. And of those, we looked at a subset of drinkers. So with frequency and the amount was a subset of 1,117, okay? And just to let you know, too, over the past week, we also did this analysis a little differently, where we looked at current drinking among the entire sample and then used a subset of frequent and frequency and amount and then frequent heavy binging. We looked at that two ways. The analysis, again, as I mentioned, it was two-level analysis with states at the higher level and individuals at the lower level. So we used multi-level random modeling, random intercept modeling. And of course, we used weights because it was a natural probability sample. Very briefly, the description. If you look at the entire sample of people, 6.8% of people with HIV or AIDS in the nation were frequent heavy drinkers. Looking at the current drinkers, roughly half drank in the past month. Of those who drank in the past month, they drank 7.8 days in the past month on average, and they typically drank almost 3 drinks per occasion. So we're talking about a bit of drinking here. And then very briefly, to describe the policies we're talking about, I present two rows of information of frequency here. The first is how the states look. So these are state frequencies on their policies. And the second set of columns, are the individuals. Where do those individuals live? And so you can see, say, for example, the first one, strictness of DUI policy, about 16 states had the least strict or slightly strict DUI fine policy. So we saw a good amount of variation across states in these 4 drinking policies. So let's turn to some results here. All right. So what we did was we looked at a multivariate model. So every model had all those individual level demographics. And we looked at states' policies, all 4 policies at the same time in the same model. The first row shows that the fines that you get for when you have a DUI offense, they're negatively rated related to all drinking behaviors. So whether or not you drank at all in the past month, how much you drank, the heavy binging, and the number of drinks you drank. So the more fines you have, the less likely you are to commit these 4 drinking behaviors amongst people with HIV, okay? That just makes intuitive sense. Where it gets a little murky is when you look at the other policies. Say, for example, the next row, jail time. Jail time had no effect at all on any drinking behavior. The next row, license suspension. That was only related to the drinking frequency, but it was in the opposite direction. In other words, where you were living in states, so if you were living in a state that was stricter on suspending your license, if you were DUI, you were more likely to drink. Similarly, if you were in a state that offered a treatment or an education program, if you were caught with a DUI, you were more likely to be a drinker and drink more frequently, have more drinks. So what we're thinking here is that obviously these policies aren't causing people to drink. These policies could have been in place because of the drinking volume, the perceived drinking volume. Obviously, too, it could be that there's a third factor here going on at the same time. Something that's related to individuals drinking is also related to the policies. So let me talk a little bit about the study limitations, and then I'll go into some potential explanations, and this is where I can welcome some comments from the audience, because this is just a really weird set of findings here. So limitations, this is the biggest limitation, is that this, we're looking observational study data here. We're not looking at how policies were implemented and then how drinking changed over time, and that's something that really needs to be done to really tease apart these findings. Secondly, we didn't have access to individuals' desire or intent to drive, so we couldn't really look at those people who were driving regularly. I'm sure a lot of these people use public transportation or lived in really urban areas. And then we have limitations with the HCSA study. It was limited to those people who are already in care for medical treatment. It did not include those people who weren't receiving any medical care. And then most importantly, we were relying on self-reports of drinking, as a lot of these drinking surveys do. So we could have a lot of underreporting of drinking, as we would imagine. But let me just reiterate the findings here. Three of the four state penalty policies appear to be related to some key drinking behaviors. When you look at the analyses the way that we did, we find that fines are across the board related, negatively related to drinking. However, when you look at the other policies, those are positive related. And as I said earlier, I did a little quick follow-up analysis where we looked at those people who were frequently heavy binging and looked at them as a subset of all drinkers. In other words, if you look at just a sample of 1,000 people that are drinkers, and then of those who are frequently binging, we found that the only thing that was related to that was whether or not the states had a treatment program. But again, it was in that weird direction. So what we think is going on is that states maybe are moving from having a more of a punitive policy, in other words, fines and license suspension, and jail time, to potentially having more of a alcohol harm reduction policy, in other words, offering the treatment, offering education programs, but those might have put in place too early for us to see the negative relationship that we expect. But as I said before, really a longitudinal analysis of this issue needs to be done to tease apart this cause and effect. And that's it. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Is there state-level variation in HIV prevalence, and if so, how do you think that may have influenced your results?
Absolutely. Sure, we found that there are groups, clusters of people with HIV, New York, LA, the major cities. And this is looking right at how states' policies affect individuals' drinking. So you would accept whatever, you would expect whatever policies are in the more populous, not populous states, but states where there are clusters of HIV positive persons, those would be definitely more influential for the group as a whole for drinking. In other words, if we saw that New York and LA, let's say the majority of people lived in New York or LA that have HIV, just for bad argument's sake, and we found that those states were really liberal with regard to their DUI policies, then yeah, we'd find in general that DUI policies didn't have that much of an effect. But we did, on my earlier slide, see that there is actually quite a bit of variation across policies in these states. So, second question? Absolutely. We really struggled with this. We looked at 30 different measures, or we thought about 30 different measures in addition to the DUI policies, because we know there's something else going on. We looked at all sorts of demographics. We tried to get at a measure of religiosity, and we just couldn't find a good one. So if you want to talk to me afterwards and you have some suggestions, we'd love to talk to you, because we thought about politics. We know there's something else going on, and we just can't figure out what it is. So yeah, I would appreciate suggestions. I think you were the first and you were second. Yes?
Did you consider other aspects of state policy around alcohol?
We did think about that, but we have other papers that are doing that. For the sake of focus of a paper, we thought that we would look just at DUI penalties here. Absolutely, we're looking at other policies too. We know that there's a whole host of policies that are affecting drinking. Absolutely. Yes, but we didn't make that comparison. I just know from looking at the national data of non-HIV positive persons, the people that are HIV tend to be a little bit, the people that are older that are positive tend to drink a little bit more than the people who are not positive. The younger categories, it's about the same, but you have a few more drinkers in the older age categories among people with HIV. Yes?
Did you look at any data to see not just whether the policy exists, but whether the policy is actually used? So you could look at how many people are incarcerated for DUI versus getting fined. That could explain if they're not implementing the policy, then it's
exactly. 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 No, I think that's a really good point. I think that we have to go back and do that. The tricky part about what we've done is it's extremely labor intensive. We had to collect a lot of this historical policy data, and so we struggled to even find the data that showed that this law existed or didn't, or how strict it was. We struggled even more so with trying to find out how effective the implementation was. So again, if you have any suggestions on that, we really welcome it, because we feel like there's a couple more steps we could take, and that's exactly one of them. Anything else? Thank you very much.